B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper! All right, final hour, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Well, while we've gone off the rails, let me say this, because I have to get this off my chest, because I wished I could have enjoyed this more, and this is going to be so petty and childish, but I really don't care, because this is who I truly am. Something happened this week that I have been waiting to hear the news for years. And I can't even enjoy it because of the times we're living in. And because it's essentially, you know, coronavirus related, you know, because everyone's losing their jobs. I await it almost daily. You know, thankfully for now, still have the job, had to take a pay cut. Still happy to be collecting a paycheck. I was happy to take that, you know, for the good of the team. All great. Still have the job for now. Knock on wood. But especially the radio industry, and just in these last few days, I don't know if you've seen this, Chris, just like a bloodbath, like lost job after lost job after lost job. Bad. But there was one last job that I heard about, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a shame. Like the old, they see the Seinfeld gif of when he's throwing the popcorn in his mouth, like, yeah, that's a shame. One of my great enemies, one of the worst people I've ever worked for, my boss down in Atlanta, manipulative prick who just played mind games, one of the worst second worst guy I've ever worked for in my life. He got the X. And when I heard the news, initially I was like, yeah, fine. But, I mean, can you be celebrating a lost job now? But, boy, he deserved it. Let me tell you. So just real quick, why I feel this way and so strongly about it. This was a man who tried to scare me into not taking the job that I left there for. Left on relatively good terms, kind of, sort of. Tried to scare me into not taking that job that I took in Connecticut by saying my contract said that my non-compete still applied in another state. Like, last minute. Both feet out the door. Saying, like, nah, you can't do that because you have the non-compete. Put me into full paranoia. Had to pay for a lawyer to look at the contract and be like, go over with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that this prick wasn't trying to screw me over, which he was trying to do. He once gave himself a personal pedicure, Chris, during one of our air check meetings. Have you had the air check meeting? It's a painful enough process as it is.
Yeah.
The air check meeting. You listen to your show, go over it. This sucked. Why do you do this? Why do you say it like this? It's like, oh, God, it's just hell. But it ultimately makes you better, but it's a hell. Shoes off, socks off, personal pedicure, feet shavings, coming off the feet onto the floor just a mere few feet away from me while he's doing the air check.
That's gross.
See? Thank you.
Oh, that is so disgusting.
Horrible human being. Would schedule meetings at 8 a.m. What's so bad about that? When I would work 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. every single night, schedule meetings at 8 a.m., me showing up groggy in a horrible mood for the meeting that he would not show up for time and time again.
He wouldn't show up. So this was a meeting with the staff or just you?
Just me, Chris.
Oh, no.
Just me.
I wonder if you had some dark days in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. No, the holidays, like the holidays that all the companies get off, that's when that's when a up-and-coming part-time will work or will play the national feed, you know?
Yeah.
No. No, the holidays you're working. Oh, I was hoping to go home to see the family for Christmas. No, you're not going home for Christmas. We work on Christmas because this is what happens here under the reign of this horrible...
Was it just you at work or was it everyone?
Oh, everyone. Everyone. And then we tried to go to HR on him and like... It was like if you watch Succession, he was like Logan Roy, like pure evil. So I'm the bad guy for celebrating this? No. Don't feel bad about the. Everyone's got an enemy or a bad guy you've worked for, someone that you root against. This was one of the guys that I rooted against. I wish I could have enjoyed this more, but state of the world, I couldn't enjoy it. But did I enjoy it? Oh, I enjoyed hearing that guy got axed. Good. You deserved it. Manipulative a-hole. Have you ever seen the movie Whiplash?
Yes.
One of my favorites.
Oh, this person was like that?
And I think I'm a firm believer that if you want to get good at your craft, whether it's a drummer, the kid in
Miles Teller
in Whiplash, thank you. Radio, any kind of like a performance job. I think you need to have a whiplash a-hole. Like you need to have the best drawn out of you. And in a lot of ways, even though I'm sitting here like ripping this guy a new a-hole, and rightfully so, I'm glad that I ultimately had that experience because I do think that it made me a better radio host. I do believe that. But boy, was he awful. And like, it broke my brain and made me like near drunk for a while because like, I'm like, it was difficult to deal with. But I think that you, if you want to get the best out of you at some point in your life, you do need to work under a taskmaster like that. Maybe not as crazy, but he was my equivalent of the bad guy, whose name I forget that actor. J.K. Rowling, thank you. In Whiplash. He was my J.K. Rowling in Whiplash.
Well, I think isn't J.K. Simmons?
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Rowling wrote the books.
Right, J.K. Rowling wrote
Harry Potter.
Hey, he's a wizard, Harry. Yeah, yeah. He's an a-hole program director, Harry. No, it was J.K. Simmons. That's who it was. So, yeah, that guy lost a job this week. So, yeah, I did the old Tiger Woods fist pump, but I should have enjoyed it more. But I can't because everyone's losing their job. Like, it's how many people applied for unemployment this week? Was it 6 million? They thought it was 3.
It turned out to be 6.6 million.
Oh, Jesus. What a hell. Oh, man. I don't know, Chris. I don't know if he. This has been a particularly bad week. The whole hour to hour, day to day thing. Certainly, it doesn't help here that, you know, the month of April in New England, every day gray, every day cold, every day rainy.
T.S. Eliot was right. April is the cruelest month.
Holy crap. So, yeah, that hasn't helped all that much. But for the most part, I'm trying to have a routine. I think routine's important. Work out here and there when you can. Try to eat right. The vegetables, you know, all that's important. A lot of fluids. Try to stay healthy. Use the masks now. And apparently, we all need the masks. Chris said earlier today, now has the designer mask, Louis Vuitton mask.
It's
that he
not
ordered.
Louis Vuitton.
Where'd you buy it from?
Citizens of Humanity.
I mean, come on.
It's a designer mask. It's just not a Louis Vuitton mask.
So it's a mid-range designer mask. We all got to have the masks now because apparently it's not the coughing and the sneezing. It's just the mere existence and breathing. That's good. Sure, we couldn't have used that information a month ago, but does anyone even know? It just gets crazier by the day. I will just say personally, despite that good news of hearing that prick got fired, I've had a bad time with this week. Like,
No, I'm sorry. I know the Jameis Winston talk got to you.
That was
a low point.
Yeah, that was. That's what I really noticed. How irritable I was. Like that, and I get it. Like, you know, we need content here during the week on Felger and Maz and a sports talk radio host. So it's like, you know, we're digging deep. But after a few days, like the Jameis Winston talk, like it really started to make me mad, like legitimately mad. And I'm like, why is this making me mad? Because I'm losing my mind. Like, Winston's not coming here. If you're talking for Winston, you're an idiot. No one wants him. He's the worst. But we're going to talk for Winston? Ah! All right. I had to get that off my chest because I did enjoy that firing.
No, good for you.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that it's five masks that are coming, and they are all in different colors, and you can actually color coordinate them with your jeans.
Of course you can. let's go to Billy in Boston. Go ahead on using gloves.
Hey, big fan. Always wanted to call in, but never had the time. But I work as a nurse in Boston, and I'm just hearing Chris talking about going to grocery stores and just, you know, using it from just trying to think you're trying to protect yourself. Please, 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 please don't do that. You're touching everything from when you leave your car to going into the grocery store to touching avocados to touching the grocery cart to everything else. You're literally infecting everything if you already have COVID on those gloves. So
I do hand sanitize the gloves. I mean, you're a professional. I'm not. I hand sanitize the gloves. I hand sanitize the cart. If there's a better way, please let me know. I think we're all taking some risk being in the supermarket. But I'll take my chances doing what I'm doing, hand sanitizing the gloves and the cart. I actually carry my own hand sanitizer with me over the girl with no gloves, just touching every avocado. But I'm not a professional. If there's a better way to do it, let me know. But I don't know if there's another way to. I mean, there's some risk being in the supermarket at all, right? Because you have to touch the stuff.
Yeah.
Unless I can bring one. You know those things that, like, when you're not tall enough to reach something.
Oh, yeah. Like the grabber.
Unless I can get a grabber to pick up everything, I don't know how else to do it.
Yeah.
So, but if someone else wants to call, I mean, you kind of let him go short. I did want to hear if he had a better.
It sounded like he was in a wind tunnel.
Because I am all ears to a better recommendation. But I am aware that the gloves on their own don't protect me. So that's why I am hand sanitizing them constantly.
Can you do the home delivery? Like the
yeah, I guess I could
whatever.
Do that. Yeah, I mean, I could try the home delivery.
I'm sure the waiting list is now ridiculous, but maybe that's the way to do it. I know that at least where I am in Melrose, like, and around that area, like, there's been this weird sea change over the last 3 or 4 days. You go into a supermarket or any kind of store now, it's, like, way creepy. The masks, the gloves.
I agree.
The paranoid stares. Like, yeah, the terror of hearing a stranger cough. Like, oh, God.
Ugh. The line, the yellow tape they have now where you have to stay, like, legitimately.
All right, 6 feet, six feet.
Yeah. That's what's kind of freaked me out the most. Like, and also, I'm wondering when we're going to get to the point where it's everything's self-checkout. Because I went on Wednesday, and they were definitely trying to stare people. Like, I thought I had a good amount of stuff. And they were like, oh, you should go to self-checkout. And I was like, oh, I don't know.
You don't want to touch anything and touch those screens.
I didn't even thought of that. I was just thinking, like, how am I going to bag all this? Because you can't use the reusable bags anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, how am I going to bag all this stuff? It's going to take me, like, forever.
Oh, glad you mentioned that. That has been a silver lining. And there's been very few silver linings of how this has all devolved here in the last month. But plastic bags are back, everyone. Plastic bags are back.
They really are back.
Oh, yeah. Thankfully.
I love my reusable bags. But you know what they told me at the supermarket? I said, oh, you know, if it was my reusable bags, because those things are gigantic. I'm like, I could fill those up. I'd be fine going into the self thing. And they were like, do you have them on you? And I said, no. The sign says not to bring them in. They're like, oh, well, you can use them. And it's like, oh, I get it. So, like, I could use them. But even if that's fine, if I put my bag down there in the self-checkout, what about the next person that comes by? So we're protecting the employees, which I'm all for, but the next person who uses the self-checkout, this is what I mean. Like, you start to go down this rabbit hole of, like, there's some risk to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just do the best we can, people. But there's no way to, like, completely eliminate the risk other than not going in there at all. And if we get to that point, then I'm done. I need to be able to go buy my food.
What a truly terrible time to be alive. All right, we have an open line. If you want to join us, 617-779-0985. I had a weird feeling, too. You know, I was sick as a dog on New Year's Eve, my birthday. And I've been rolling, man, I've been rolling hard sixes, for like 8 straight years.
Yeah.
Man, what a run I've had. But I was like, 2020, I don't feel great about it. I didn't think it would be this bad. Oh, Jesus. All right, it was good to get that off my chest. I enjoyed that firing, though. I don't care if that makes me a bad person. I am a bad person, but I enjoyed it because he deserved it. Shaving off his feet and his skin during a meeting. How disgusting. Good. Take that. Ha-ha. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. A lot of you hanging. Still want to talk NFL draft? We'll do that. I see one that says a Gasper suggestion, so we'll get to that,
yes,
Chris.
Yes, very good.
All that coming up next. Gasper Murray, 98.5, a Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, let's go to you. What you've been waiting for a little while. Appreciate that. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. David in North Providence with a thought on the NFL draft, which is still on schedule for later this month. It'll look weird, but it's still going to happen, thank God. Go ahead, David.
Hello, David. Is David there? David.
David in North Providence. Hello. Hello. Are we having a problem with the phone lines? Is that what's happening back there? All right. Well, the hell with you, David. Drew in Boston on the NFL draft. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I heard you talk about linebacker and possibly offensive line as positions in need, but with so many skill position players going probably early in the first half of the draft, there's going to be two great safeties. At least one of them should be available in the latter half of the draft. We have a clear need there. Xavier McKinney and Grant Delpit from LSU are both studs. Just want to get your opinion.
Yeah, those are two really good players. I tend to think McKinney's maybe a little overrated just playing at Alabama with that defense. I mean, I think they've had some guys, frankly, who are better than him that have come through there. I like Delpit. He had a little bit of a down year, but he dealt with some injuries. But safety is so deep that I just don't think you have to take a guy in the first round there. There are other guys like Ashton Davis from Cal, who I really, really like, who would be available, I think, outside of the first round. You have a couple of guys from Utah. Terrell Burgess is one of them. There's Antoine Winfield's kid, Antoine Winfield Jr., who's good. This Geno Stone kid who didn't test really well at Iowa, he's probably available in the third, fourth round, but he has, like, freaky good instincts. So I just don't think you have to use a first-round pick on a safety in this draft.
But is that an area of need? Because I feel like it is.
It
just
is.
In terms of depth.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. Obviously, Devin McCourty's getting up there in age. They moved on from Daron Harmon. We'll see how they feel about Jonathan Jones playing safety, which he did some last year for them. And Jawan Williams can also play safety. So you'd think on paper it's an area of need, but they might have guys internally that they feel like they can transition there.
Steve in Salem on Patriots trade possibilities. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I'd like to see the Patriots be aggressive in the trade front. And there's a couple players that I'm interested in. One is David Njoku, the tight end from Cleveland. I heard that he's on the market, on the trade market. And I think the Patriots could probably trade maybe even a player to get him, maybe a guy like Sony Michel. And the other guy that I really like is there's a quarterback on the Broncos who I really like coming out of the draft last year. This guy, Brett Rippin. He played at Boise State, and he was really productive there. He kind of reminds me a little bit of like Kurt Warner, just the way he throws the ball, his mechanics, and the way he handles the ball. Drew Locke has got that position that he's going to be their quarterback for the future. So I'd rather see the Patriots bring in another young quarterback and have him compete with Stidham, because I think that's how you get the best out of Stidham, who I think they're going to go with. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm ultimately with you on that, Steve. That's got to be Mark Rippon's kid, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's a younger guy that potentially pushes Stidham, because I don't think he really has to worry about Brian Hoyer, if we're being realistic. So whether that's, you know, I'm into Hurts, maybe if they draft him in the third round. Chris is not. Maybe that's someone that's on someone's depth chart. Kyle Allen, who ended up getting traded to Washington for, what was it, like a fourth rounder or something that was like, didn't seem like much. If they were in on him, because I thought at the beginning of the season, like after, you know, Newton was hurt, he looked pretty good. I wouldn't have minded that, but I'm against the splash for a name like Newton or Winston. What was the first point that he had there? Was it
David Njoku?
Oh, David Njoku. Yeah.
Njoku.
Has he not worked out in Cleveland all that much? Because he got drafted high out of Florida, right?
Miami.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's been a little bit of a disappointment. Certainly the price would be right for the Patriots. They don't have a lot of cap room. His base salary is 1.7.
They need a tight end. I'd do that.
And he's a talented guy. I would look at it. You know, I think that's something that you could look at and say, what would it take to get this guy? And could you bring him in? Because that's what's interesting to me. That's a position they really haven't addressed this offseason at all. And I think there are mixed reviews on this draft in terms of the tight end class. You hear Adam Trautman from Dayton. You hear the Bryson Hopkins, Purdue, the two Bryants, Harrison Bryant, FAU, Hunter Bryant, Washington. You hear those guys, but it's not seen as a great, great Cole Kmet from Notre Dame. It's not projected or seen as a great, great tight end draft. So maybe there's somebody already in the league who could help you.
Yeah, I would rather that. I don't want to see them go back into the season with Lacoste and Izzo. Like, those guys are just guys. I don't think that's a Brady thing. And, like, you didn't work with them enough. They're just guys.
And Cleveland made the big splash for Austin Hooper.
Right.
So maybe, you know, Njoku is a guy who would be available.
Danny in Lexington has a suggestion for Chris Gasper. Go ahead, Danny.
Oh, yes.
Hey, boys.
Hey.
I just figured, why don't you use the little plastic bag that you're going to put your produce into to seal the produce prior to selecting it? That way there, you're going to use that bag that you're already going to keep. You don't spread your germs onto the produce. One of your problems solved.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that could work. But apparently from what the other person was saying, the moment I touch the plastic bag, right?
It's already infected.
Now it's already contaminated, I think, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe for your own peace of mind, though, that you do the old, like, doggy do type thing. You put the bag over the hand, then you grab.
Yeah.
Still, like he said. I don't know. No matter what, it just feels like we're all screwed. Like,
I know. Well, that's why I'm saying you off the air. It's just going to be like, this is going to be the rise of the robots. Like, I mean, I send a robot to the supermarket to shop for me.
Oh, I hate those robots so much. I can't tell you. I see those. What's the place locally that makes the ones that look like the dogs?
Oh, yeah, that thing's terrifying.
That they had from Black Mirror. Like, don't you know the thing's going to have a knife in its hand and they're going to come and kill us all anyway? The robots rise. How many movies do you have to watch to realize the robots are going to rise up and
get us? I think the robots
will spare
Xennials upward, I think. That's what I think.
You're Gen X. That's not a word. It doesn't exist.
It's a word.
And that Westworld, too. Great first season. And then, like, what? I'm supposed to feel bad for the robots?
Like, oh, no, the robots are being taken advantage of. We keep killing the robots, and the robots kept getting done for our pleasure.
Yeah, because that's what they're – they're robots. And that – I hate them so much. Go ahead. If I live long enough, that we get to have the theme parks like Westworld, and I get to go and like do the hot robots and kill the robots, sign me up, because I'm going to kill those robots over and over and keep doing the robots and not feel any remorse. They're robots. I don't care how humanoid they are and how much they look like people, even if they bleed and breathe. F them, they're robots. Oh, I hate them so much.
That's so terrible.
Gonna take our jobs, take over the world. Oh, and I'm supposed to feel bad for the robots? It's one of the many reasons I stopped watching that terrible convoluted show.
Yeah, but not until after you had told me to watch it. I wasn't even watching it. I wasn't even into it. Then you made me watch it. Now I'm still stuck watching it.
Well, that's on you. First season's great. At some point in your life, you have to realize, like, you can't hang on just because you've spent the money or made the time and emotional investment. I used to do this. I'd spend, like, $30 in a book, get, like, three quarters through it and be like, oh, this is terrible. But I gotta hammer through. I spent the $30. Like, life's too short, man. Especially now, during these coronavirus times. If you realize something sucks, bail. It's okay. You can live with yourself. Effing robots.
Oh, but they feel they're becoming more like us.
They're not. God didn't make them.
You love pets. You know, I mean,
because pets were made by the maker. Like, the pets are real, man. Like, they're not robots.
No, but I'm just saying, I mean, the robots will be better able to serve and communicate. And in many cases, as Westworld would show, gratify better than pets.
Oh, they're all so mad because we keep killing them and doing them for our pleasure. Like, yeah, you're at our beck and call, you stupid robots.
Well, that's why they rebel. If you treat them with a little bit of class and dignity, then they'll be fine. Oh, but if you treat them like trash, that's kind of the point.
That's what they're there for. Oh, I hate them so much. Though. And that's what's going to happen, because now everyone's out of work and all these greedy companies will realize, well, why hire the people when we can hire the robots?
The robots are immune to coronavirus. This is what's going to happen, Jim.
All right. We have to pause here, come back, and get back to more of your calls. Have full phone lines, which I like to see. It means the people are out. They're frustrated. They needed to get the hell out of their house or your home and frustrated. You just need to talk to someone else other than your spouse. So we'll talk to you next here on Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5.
Go to John, who's working. Well, that's good to see on the NFL draft. Go ahead, John. You're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You're talking to a baby boomer here, so
and you're talking to me. You're talking to two people from Generation X. Yeah, go ahead.
One person from Generation X and a Xennial. One Xennial, one Gen Xer.
Whatever. Listen, big fan. Big fan. Jimmy, I swear to God, you make me laugh, believe me.
Oh,
what do you think, guys, of Malcolm Perry out of Navy?
I like him, and if he's willing to sort of make – I think he has a better chance – of making the transition that Keenan Reynolds tried to make than Keenan Reynolds did. He's a super explosive guy. Now, obviously, Navy is an option quarterback. He's not going to be able to play quarterback in the NFL.
No. I was thinking more like a Welker or an Edelman. I mean, he's 5'9 and three quarters. Welker's 5'9. Yeah. Edelman's 5'10. Yep. Runs a 4.63. I don't know how he is in the cone drill, the Creek 3 cone drill.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bill and Navy, I think they're going to take him in the third round.
I wouldn't be shocked. Like
third
you
round
said.
Would be a little high in this draft, especially when there are receivers who are proven receivers in here. But I could see, you know, they have all these picks. Half their picks are after the fifth round. They have all these sixth and seventh round picks. I could definitely see them taking a flyer on someone like Malcolm Perry, and I would be all for that. He can play. He's just a football player.
This is as deep a wide receiver draft that I can, like, ever remember.
It's really deep, yeah.
I saw, you know, one of the bankroll boys, Joe Murray, just think yesterday, say, like, you know, if you want, I can list, like, you know, the top 50 receivers if you'd like, you know, and keep going.
Wow.
He made a list of, like, his top 20. But just besides, I mean, you could see, it's realistic. You'll see four go in the first round, from Judy to Ruggs, Lamb, Higgins, right? Like, they could all end up going in that first round.
Definitely. Some people think they have – some people have, like, Chenault going in the first round, too, from Colorado. It's deep. Denzel Mims, you see him being mocked quite a bit to the Patriots. I'm not as high on that. I didn't see a lot of him, but he reminds – for some reason, in my mind, you were talking about the Oregon – quarterbacks, in my mind, sometimes with some of these Baylor, TCU wide receivers, these guys that play in the Big 12 and they're in these spread attacks and they have these wide splits and they're just sort of running around and it's like basketball on grass. And then you get them in the NFL and they're just not as productive.
Not good route runners.
And I just look at him and I'm like, this guy's going to be like Bethel Johnson, like 2.0.
Ugh. Eric in Wakefield in the Patriots offseason. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I got a couple of Patriots
things going on. All right, first, Will Grier at West Virginia had a left tackle called Kajust, who the Patriots drafted. He would have been a first round. He would have been a first round pick if he did not get hurt. Patriots took him, knowing the fact that he was hurt. He only gave up one sack in his last 2 years at West Virginia with a happy pass, you know, offense with Will Grier in West Virginia. So here's what I'm thinking. They might trade Tooney to Cleveland because Bill Belichick doesn't like not having a pick in every round for the second and the JUCO for Tooney. What do you think? And kick Isaiah Wynn in.
That would make sense, Eric, and thanks for the call, to have him be a guard. That was his natural position. I don't know. I feel like...
Are you still calling him the fat kid from Georgia who gets hurt all the time?
I mean, that's a pretty accurate description, I think. But unfair, I know. Boo, Jim. Oh, boo. Oh, hiss, hiss. There's a lot of bigger problems in the world. Please get over your babies. I feel like they're in with Tooney. Like I know they used a franchise tag on him, and they could still ostensibly trade him. But based on that press release that they put out after they did it, like I feel like no, they want to keep him. They want to protect Stidham, and I think in terms of that case of why they did it, to protect their young quarterback and at least have him feel more comfortable going forward.
It's a lot of money to spend on guards, though, between Mason and Tooney. That's a lot of money on guards.
Yeah, it's something I feel like Bill O'Brien would do.
I mean, for a team that basically was like, "Hey, you." Yeah, you wrestled? Yeah, you're a starting guard. Like with Stephen Neal, I mean, that's a lot of money to spend. Now, look, they also had Logan Mankins, and Logan was worth every penny. And I think you can make an argument that Tooney would be as well. And Shaq Mason was hurt last year. When he's healthy, he's great. So maybe Belichick, per usual, is just ahead of the curve here. And guards, the value is there. But it just doesn't seem like that's their traditional MO, is to spend that type of money on guards.
Mike in Wakefield says he wants to talk about groceries. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. By the way, Gasper and Jim, and I already freaked out about this, but these grocery stores are petri dishes. And, like, I work for one of the delivery services, and I go through a bunch of gloves every day and disinfectant wipes. And, you know, you can never be sure that there isn't some sort of contamination somewhere. Like, you know, taking your shoes off outside, it's just... When you really break down how many things you're touching and how many other people are touching things, and there's still too many people out. Like, I was just in line. It would have taken an hour just to get in the store that I was standing outside of. Ugh. You know, of course, everybody stays 6 feet apart. But once you get into the store, there's no social distancing unless you're actually at the register where they make you stand 6 feet apart. People are swimming all over each other inside the stores. Like, there's just... I think at some point we have to accept that if you're going outside, if you're going into a public place like a grocery store, you're eventually going to get this. There's just too many variables. It's just like the numbers would blow your mind. It's you're going to have to accept that. So either stop.
Oh, I lost you because I wanted to ask him a question. So he says he's in Wakefield. I live one town over, city over. And I wanted to know, because what I've been doing, I don't know if you've been doing this, Chris, like yeah. I haven't been actually going to the, when I go, I don't go to the bigger ones. My wife does that. I'll go to, there's a few local, smaller mom and pop type operations. One is in Wakefield. I want to know if it was that, because I've noticed going to those, that's where it started to get creepy, because you still have these olds. There's still people out there. And I was one of these people initially. And like, hey, shame on me. Hey, I was wrong, egg on my face. Like, this is overblown. Nothing's going to get shut down. Whoops. But you still have a lot of olds. Because, again, Chris and I, Gen X, I'm talking boomers and older.
No, I'm not Gen X.
That I know, having gone to one of these small mom and pops, my last time to the grocery store, you still, I mean, old ladies, yeah, like, this is like an effing third world country. I can't believe this crap. Like, lady, like, it all sucks, I know, but can we at least comply? Why are you so close? Don't breathe on me. So I can understand what he's saying. And I have found, from what I've seen, these littler places that were okay and no one was really going to as much as the bigger ones, now they are just as mobbed and nuts as the bigger ones, too. So, I don't know. There's really no good answer.
I mean, do you know, there is no good answer, and I've still been going to the grocery store, you know, out of necessity, and you just try and take as many precautions as you can. But to his point, there's no way that you can be in a situation where you're 100% certain you're not putting yourself at risk. I just would ask that we all apply common sense and not grope every avocado in the cart. The other thing I would say here is the most striking thing about this public health crisis overall is how it changes your mentality. Because I know when I go out or I'm in a store, I now look at sort of every human being as a potential threat.
Yeah.
And that's really what this does. It's like, okay, danger. Like the bell goes off in my head, like danger, danger.
Right.
You know, this person's too close or this
carrier. Ah.
I'm sure there are other people who see me and feel the same way.
Right.
And it's just remarkable how something like this can happen and change your, not only your way of life, but your way of thinking. And that to me is really one of the most painful parts of this whole thing outside of the suffering and people getting sick and people unfortunately dying. It's the idea that now we have to regard our fellow human beings as existential threats.
What a terrible time to be alive. So a friend of mine just sent me this DM. He says, this definition of zennial makes me want to ask someone to cough on me. A microgeneration that serves as a bridge between the disaffection of Gen X and the blithe optimism of millennials.
Yeah, that's me.
You want this tag on you?
I do, because I'm not as blithe as the millennials, but I'm not as jaded as you, Mr. Gen X. That's a perfect description.
He then says, he sent this, he goes, ask Chris to read this out loud without shame. The neologistic term zennials is a portmanteau? That seems like something you'd use.
That is, yeah.
Portmanteau, blending the words Generation X and Millennials to describe a micro-generation or crossover generation.
Yeah.
People whose birth years are between the late 70s and early to mid 80s.
What's wrong with this?
Zennials were reported to be first created and used in a September 2014 article in Good Magazine.
That's right. Good old Good Magazine.
Written by freelance writer Sarah Stankorb. Blah, blah, blah. Good Magazine has described Zennials as a micro-generation that's true. Yeah, what I just read. Oh, come on. No,
yeah,
it's true.
You learned something today. Look, you doubted coronavirus. You were wrong. You're doubting the Zennials, and you're wrong.
You're Gen X.
Zennials.
I'm never going to acknowledge
the
you
Zennials.
Else.
We're gonna rise up, and we're gonna save you all.
Oh, it's just the worst. Joe in East Boston on the NFL season. Will we actually have it, Joe? Your thoughts go.
Yeah, so I hope so. I know the NFL is trying to play it off like it's as close to business as usual as it can be. But I was just thinking, you know how Bill usually uses the first couple of weeks of the regular season as an extension of the NFL offseason? We've always talked about that. Will he be able to take that approach now without Brady, with the shortened OTAs, and you know, potentially even less games on the regular season schedule?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he can take that approach, but I feel like if he takes that approach, I think every team will be forced to take that approach, no?
Yeah, I would think.
Like I think we've talked about in the past. I mean, I go back and forth on it. I think it's a little overblown in that I think it's an excuse for when they lose games. But on the other hand, I do think there is something to the idea that the teams are normally improve as the year goes on. That, you know, they're better in December than they are in September. Again, I think it's a little overblown that he just is like, "Oh, I don't care about these games." Like, but there is an idea that it takes 4 or 5 weeks to figure out what you have.
There's an update here in regard to the draft from Adam Schefter, ESPN, who just tweeted a few minutes ago. High-level officials from multiple NFL teams are now preparing to do the NFL draft from April 23rd to the 25th virtually from home, away from team facilities. League sources telling ESPN, awaiting final decision from NFL on an unprecedented draft. I'm glad they're going on with this. Are you? Because there's been pushback, including from Schefter earlier in the week, who was like a finger-wagging Nana.
Yeah, well, his pushback, though, wasn't about the draft. It was about the tone-deaf press conference of one, Jeff Pasch, who was 100% the wrong person for the league to put forward. He's a fantastic attorney, but he's just sort of, in the same way that Alan Dershowitz is, he's never been wrong in his life, and he's always combative. Like, you could be like, Jeff Pasch, it's Wednesday. And he'd be like, well, actually, it's not Wednesday, and let me tell you why. So he was 100% the wrong guy for them to put out there, because anytime he's, you know, sort of questioned, he's not going to accept it. And so the questions were like, do you think you'll have to delay the season or plan? He was pretty much like, no, of course not. You know, that type of pushback, I understand. The draft, I think, should go on the same way I was happy free agency went on. I didn't agree with, as you would say, Nana Florio, you know, saying it was a public disgrace and like all this other stuff. So I think the off-season stuff that can be conducted, particularly if it's conducted remotely, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, it'll be weird, but I'm glad that it's still happening. And I mean, it'll give us some somewhat level of normalcy, especially for sports fans. So it should go on. And with these coaches and GMs doing it from home, yeah, maybe we'll get to see some background, more books, more sports books. And, you know, it's usually that typical backdrop that you see when anyone is doing any of these things.
Do you see DJ Bean?
Yeah, that's great. He just wrote books.
On a cardboard sign, and it was books in all caps. It was amazing.
Not going to top that. All right, five questions for Chris Gasper. I got nothing to do with sports. Next.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too
all right, so we typically wrap up the show each and every week here on Gasper and Murray. Again, now at our new time from 10 to 1 here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. So let's rip through this. Question number one. Besides, you know, your fancy masks and the essentials, food, gloves, things of that nature, Chris, as someone who is a bit of a shopaholic and likes going out and, you know, buying the new clothes, you buying anything right now?
No, I'm not. I bought a pair of elastic waistband pants from Banana Republic that were like 70% off. They cost $20. And I was like, I don't want to wear sweatpants around the house. And these pants look, you know,
they're fancier sweatpants.
They're fancier sweatpants, pretty much. They're respectable. Like, they look like regular pants, but they just have the elastic waistband.
So I bought a spiteful, like, Brady Bucks getup. I bought an old Doug Williams throwback on eBay. And so it was the, you know, the old orange creamsicle uniform with the 12 on it and an old Bucks hat. But that was weeks ago. Other than that, like, this popped up. I asked the same question on Twitter just to, like, random followers. Like, is anyone buying anything? Like, I look at websites. I peruse eBay. And then before I click on yes to, like, complete a purchase, I'm like, what's the point? Like, what? Why? Like, what am I going
to... Well, the economy. We have to keep the economy going.
I suppose. But, like, all the, like, nice clothes I have right now, I'm not wearing anyway. It's just been, like, the same pants for 11 straight days. So who cares? Question number two. What is something that you thought was essential but now realize isn't essential?
Ooh, that's a good one. That was essential, but is... I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe I go back to the same sort of... Well, I guess I'd say going to the movies.
Yeah.
Because going... You know I like my bad movies. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't really... Like, I like that movie-going experience, but now that you take it away, I'm like, this is fine. Like, if they're just going to release all the movies at home... Yeah, I'll watch Black Widow at home if they release it. That's fine.
I got my degenerate gambling grandfather's blood running through me. Rest in peace, Jim Barrasso. So, I don't know. I got that in me. So I would occasionally, not you know, every so often, you know, spend a decent amount on scratch tickets. Again, much like shopping for, like, new clothes or whatever, it's like, yeah. Well, what's the point? Like, if anything, given the state of the world, watch me win. And then what? Like, great, I'm a millionaire. Like, now what?
Well, that would just mean you'd be able to get a coronavirus test.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, the rich people are the ones that get the test. Question number three. What does your daily schedule look like while social distancing at home, Chris? With orders to stay in, what have you been doing to pass the time, you and the wife?
Well, both of us are working. She has a lot of Zoom calls, so I'll go into my office and work there. I have to write quite a bit or do interviews, and so I have to close the door, and she's on her Zoom calls. So she'll get up and, like, make coffee. I normally get up a little later, you know, start, like, reading stuff and prepping stuff and eating all that. And then she's done earlier than I am just because even now it's like you're still, you know, there's sports stuff happening later in the day. And then we'll at some point sort of settle down, cook dinner and watch shows.
You working out? Question number four.
Yeah, I am, actually. Yeah. I've been doing two Pilates classes a week on Zoom, and the Los Angeles Dodgers have a thing now where their trainers on there doing a 30-minute workout that you can do on YouTube. So I'm going to try that this weekend.
All right, very
but
good.
The cardio's suffering. You know who's the big winner of this? Peloton.
Oh, yeah.
I would not care. I'll tell you what. If I could get a Peloton in my place right now, I would take it, and I would not even care if it came with my significant other weight-shaming me into buying it and then weight-shaming me into marking my progress for their own perverse enjoyment. I 100% would be down for that. I think Peloton has gotten the last laugh here.
Yeah. I know. The lack of cardio is also driving me crazy, too. And finally, is your alcohol consumption up, down, or the same?
Probably down, because I would go out and drink. You know, I'm not a big drinker. And I don't know, is there something about drinking at home that gives me the creeps a little?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of like when we were young and they were always, you know, don't do drugs. Like, you think you do one drug, you're going to become like a drug addict. It's like I'll have a glass of wine here and there with a meal, but My alcohol consumption, I'd say overall, has gone down. I'm just not a big drinker in general.
Yeah, there is an air of sadness that comes with drinking at home, but what else are you going to do right now? Mine up, way up.
Really, way up?
Oh, yeah. So concludes a Gasper Murray for this Saturday. Chris, always a pleasure. Stay safe and healthy.
You too, man.
I want to thank Brian Robb for producing today's show, and read him at bostonsportsjournal.com. Stay safe and healthy as well, B-Rob. For Gasper, B-Rob, this is Big Jim Murray signing off. Talk to you Monday with Phil Grimes. Coming up next, Bruins opening round Game 7 win over the Canadiens from 2011. That's next here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.